we have to temper this feeling of disrespect and put it a little bit into context. Lee, let's not go overboard.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports. That is Ira Kaufman, the iconic Pro Football Hall of Fame voter and Tampa Bay legend himself. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee D. Kemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And I think we've got a hell of a conversation here for you today. Ira shares various interactions with some big names around the NFL. He's been a busy guy. His chats and his impressions from talking to Joel Glazer privately, as well as the sage has two moves in the draft that he thinks the Bucs absolutely have to make if they're on the table. And we dive into all kinds of things beyond that. The podcast is back, as I said, and it's been gone a little while, which is on me. And don't blame Ira. He's in fine shape. He's doing his thing. He's hitting his buffets. He's exercising with his dog Cosmo. But between some technical difficulties and some scheduling issues, I had a death in my family that took more of my time work-wise than I expected. But we're getting back on track, and we think we've got some great conversation here for you today, and that will continue. So we appreciate everybody who supports the podcast, everybody who supports Bill Curry Ford, the presenter of the podcast, and, of course, at JoeBucksFan.com. We continue to dominate. Everybody has made us, all the fans have made us number one by a long, long margin, including Buccaneers.com and everybody else. It's old news at this point, but our appreciation, our gratitude is not old news. Bill Curry Ford makes Ira possible here on the website, and that doesn't stop. The Giant is open. The Giant is their completely remodeled, redone 23rd century dealership that is open a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. Bill Curry Ford, 65 years of Tampa tradition, but the dealership is state of the art. Get out there. GM Sean Sullivan's ready to help you. And of course, they've always got great offers right now. Bill Curry Ford tax match by today, and that will double your tax refund at Bill Curry Ford. They're going to double it up to $5,000. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com. Still got the nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles. Tremendous opportunities there. You can get a great education at BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. We'll talk about them soon. But kick back, enjoy the conversation, and we will be back soon for sure.
You can stop right there, Steve. I'm going to see Sean Sullivan because I'm picking up my 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape that has been serviced. And speaking of Sean and the draft, I saw him last week when I brought the vehicle in, and he's sticking with what he said, Lee, a while ago. This is an incredible quarterback-rich draft. He says it's the best he's seen in 40 years. That was the Dan Marino draft. Strong words from Sean Sullivan.
GM Sean Sullivan, Ira. He, of course, is our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, and his podcast popped all 50 minutes or so. Full quarterbacks breakdown. I suggest you listen to it. Very informative. Fans can find that at JoeBucksFan.com. But Bill Curry Ford, Tampa tradition, 60-plus years right there, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. On the east side, the Giant is back. Tremendous offers, tremendous dealership. Family-owned makes a difference. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, you know, I have a friend of mine who just got some new air conditioning at his home. And, you know, they went in the attic to do whatever they had to do. Mold. Found some mold. They told him he got mold.
Thank God they found it. Right? Could have got worse.
I guess. I don't know. I wasn't going up in his attic to find out. But you know what? If you have mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Florida's Elite Restoration, also local owned, just like Bill Curry Ford. Florida'sElite Restoration.com. They are there for you 24/7. Sage, you call them up.
And you call them before you call your insurance company, right, Steve?
That's right, and you call them 24/7. They'll come out to your property and evaluate and assess everything absolutely free. And if you need their services, if you mention the Sage or Joe Bucks fan when you first call, they'll give you $500 back. And, you know, the insurance carriers require you to call immediately. You can't wait and then decide, oh, I'm going to collect on this 6 months later when I feel like fixing it. You got to call right away. Protect your number one investment. Florida'sElite Restoration.com. Water, fire, mold, storm damage. Can't believe the storm season's coming back, Ira. Make them part of your plan. Florida'sElite Restoration.com. All right, Ira, before we get into some of these cool Bucks nuggets and hear from Lee, You know, I just have to let the listeners know, after watching you work the big owners meeting party.
It's not the first time you've seen it, Steve.
Not the first time. This wasn't your best working of the room, but it was very impressive. I got to say, I don't understand it, Lee, but Mike Tomlin considers Ira part of his family. Not football family. His, like literally, Mike Tomlin, if Ira said, you know, my house has mold, he'd say, come on over for a couple of months. Don't worry about it. I don't understand the relationship, Ira, but it is very special. And you and Sean McVay are old pals, and that was confirmed. You got a lot of information on Liam
Cohen.
And
I was hoping to see the commissioner, because he likes to give me a high five, and you've seen that, Steve.
Usually it's a bear hug.
But I didn't see him. I don't think he was there.
He didn't go to the party for some reason. Maybe he was avoiding you, Ira. But what a working of the room by the Sage, many other media types, and unbelievable. Very impressive, Ira.
Thank you, my friend. And we got to spend a little time with the boss man from the Bucks, co-owner Joel Glazer. Steve, my takeaway, and I think you backed me up on this, Lee. Unfortunately, you missed it, but Joel Glazer had one hell of a time with the 2023 Bucks season. He loved it. He didn't know what to expect from Baker Mayfield, and none of us did at that point, including Baker Mayfield. And Joel Glazer loved the, you know, he said, the hardest shoes to fill in the world is Tom Brady.
That's true.
And Baker Mayfield didn't try to be Tom Brady. He was his own guy.
Smart.
But, guys, when Joel was talking about how much fun the season was as far as ownership's concerned, it kind of reminded me of 2010. Because I remember at the 2011 meetings when I talked to Joel, he said that was the most fun that ownership had since the 2002 Super Bowl season. Of course, that was the year they won 10 games and Josh Freeman had a hell of a year. And nobody thought the Bucks were going to do anything because they were horrible in 2009, Raheem's first year.
And what happened the next year?
They didn't sustain it. But, Steve, Joel had a ball, and I think he was talking talking for the entire Glazer family. He's part of this little bit of a general, you know, frustration with lack of respect. Lack of respect, you know, Joel doesn't think Jason Light gets his due.
I've heard that.
Stage.
I've heard that.
And so he said that to Steve. Steve, we got a lot of ground to cover. I understand that. But, man, Joel Glazer, he had a ball. And, Lee, and I think rightfully so, very proud of the way they played in Detroit. They didn't feel they lost that game. They felt Detroit made enough plays to win it.
That's fair.
Joel said Detroit had a heck of a team, which they did. No regrets about that game. It wasn't a bad way to go out if you're going to go out.
The Bucks fought toe-to-toe with the Lions.
Game was tied after three quarters.
Yes, it was.
Yes,
fourth quarter, it was tied. They had nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, yeah, even Mayfield pokes fun at himself. You know, he threw a pick. It kind of ended the game, and people will bring up the time.
It was a desperate situation. You know, it was.
You're right. And then some people will bring up the Todd Bowles non-timeout. But they did not embarrass themselves in any way, shape, or form. You know, I'll just say this right now. I don't know. I know Joel. Know of him. I don't know him. You know him better than I do. Steve does as well. Seems like a good dude. The few times I've spoken to him, obviously, after the Eagles game, him and his family were quite happy. We saw him. We talked to him down in the tunnel outside the locker room.
You know, and if the Bucks would have put a performance on in Detroit, like the Eagles did in Tampa, mm-hmm. I think the season would have had a whole different feel.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's kind of interesting, you're likening 2010 to last year in the excitement and entertainment that Joel Glazer had. You know, like they came out of nowhere. And I'm not criticizing him here. I'm just kind of confused. He's a little irked, as is Light. Understandable that everybody poo-poos the Bucks. Well, if you thought your team was not getting respect, that means you thought your team had the talent, then you really shouldn't be surprised that your team did well last year. You see what I mean?
I do. They felt that the core talent was there, and I think they feel the same way now, Steve, now that they brought back the Mike Evanses and the Lavonte Davids, added Whitehead. They're feeling good about themselves, Steve. You spent some time with Jason Light. I'm sure you felt a little optimism from Jason Light.
Well, look,
that was Iris Wineglass.
I felt the optimism last year, but the X factor was the quarterback. They didn't really know, and everybody understood that. And that was sort of underlined by the almost faux competition in the summer where they wouldn't even name Mayfield right away. But, you know, that's kind of oldish news. Glazer was clear, though, that I asked him, what did you like most about the 2023, the whole experience of the season? He said it was the low expectations. He said he didn't agree with them. He laughed, but proving the doubters wrong, et cetera, et cetera. But there is that underlying theme, Ira, that the They were a little bit of mad. They got a chip on their shoulder about these critics and the respect. You know, we have to be get the microscope out a little bit, Ira, and say, well, you know what, Joel? If you don't think your team's getting respect, why don't you get one of your Glazer crew out there and demanding respect like other teams do sometimes with their owners out front and doing some interviews and corralling that respect. So they don't really do a lot necessarily. I don't think there's any plan to get the respect that they really want other than to win games. I don't know if you can do that in this day and age of media and entertainment, but hey, whatever puts a chip on their shoulder is a good thing.
Lee, we have to temper this feeling of disrespect and put it a little bit into context, Lee. Let's not go overboard. Lee, they're 18-19 the last two seasons, including the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of stuck in the middle. Purgatory, if you will.
In a bad division.
In a bad division. But they won the division. And
they got the job done.
And they played well in this postseason as opposed to the postseason 2 years ago, which was a disaster, that Dallas game.
The naysayers, if you want to call them that, or some would say the objective people, that point out the Bucks are a 500 team in the last 2 years. They did what they had to do, to use a Derrick Brooks cliche. They won the division. Mark Sessler, NFL.com, was like, well, you know, the Eagles, they had fallen off the cliff. What do you expect the Bucks to do? Lie down for them?
Lee, the Eagles were favored in that game. Yes, they were. In that tailspin.
When I heard Sessler say that, would you expect the Bucks to lay down for them then? I mean, I didn't understand that comment. Well, the Eagles fell off a cliff.
Steve, I want to tell you one of the things I said to Jason Light.
Well, real quick, I remember that Jason Light thing. You said, hey, we got to be fair. Whatever you said, 18 and 19. The Falcons haven't had a winning season since 2017. And in that time, the Bucks have won a Super Bowl, followed by three consecutive division titles. Yet here come the Falcons, the over-under 10.5 in Vegas. They're the hot team now. Everyone's hyping them up. So, I mean, that fuels the Bucks because they know that. They know the Falcons have stunk, and everybody watching has known they've stunk.
Well, Lee just made a great point off microphone. there's one reason why the Falcons are at this 10.5 over-under, which I think is too high. It's Kirk Cousins. Bingo. I mean, there's no other reason. Is the move from Arthur Smith to Raheem Morris enough to get you, you know, 2-3 more wins? That's a stretch. Raheem's got a lot to prove the second time around. I believe in Raheem, but he's got a lot to prove. Kirk Cousins, new system, major injury.
Major injury.
I'm not convinced he's going to have a banner season.
I'm right with you, Ira. Major season. I think it's a new offense. It's a derivative of Sean McVay, and that's what he used up in Minnesota this last year. My biggest thing about Cousins, I always have to bring it up in a story when I compare Cousins and Mayfield. It's right up your alley. You're a big quarterback wins kind of guy.
I am.
For all the people mocking Mayfield and anointing Kirk Cousins, and there was a commenter on JoeBucksFan.com actually referred to Cousins as clutch. Like, wait, hold on now.
Maybe he's got fourth quarter comebacks, maybe. That's what they're talking
well,
about.
Well, here's a clutch for you. Baker Mayfield has twice as many postseason wins as Kirk Cousins.
That's outstanding, Lee. And Cousins has played a long time in this league. Steve, I'm going to throw this to you, sort of a softball. You're gonna like this one.
Now, you want to get back to your Jason Light thing you were
about
to say?
I'm going to get back to my Jason Light. Now, here's how I tempered this 18-19, which sounds like they're stuck in purgatory. I said this to Light at the party. He just smiled. But I think there's a lot of truth to this, Lee. What are the Bucks worried about? You know, they got holes. All right. They're looking at left guard. They're looking at a second running back. Maybe they're looking at center. Maybe they're looking at a third cornerback or something. Lee, there's eight teams in this league that don't have a quarterback. And I said that to Jason. I said, they're looking for quarterbacks. They're looking for wide receivers. They're looking for, a pass rusher. You're looking for a left guard. I mean, now, they are looking for a pass rusher, Lee, so we can't let that go.
Are they?
Are they, Steve?
Yeah, I think it's 100% they're going to draft one. I do.
With a premium pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, is this like me looking for a hot blonde in my house?
No.
I'm looking, but I ain't going to find one.
You got the 26th pick in that draft, too, Lee. I could tell you that.
hell, I don't even have a first-round pick.
But, Steve, I'm just trying to get an idea, give you an idea of other teams are looking for quarterbacks, and the Bucks are looking for a left guard. That's not too bad from a Buck perspective.
No, not at all. So what's the softball you were going to ask me?
Well, I'm just saying.
it was so soft I didn't feel it? Is that what you're saying?
No, they have holes, but it's not like you're looking for the guy under center.
I just see them, Ira, look, 9-8. They closed strong. They won a playoff game. They look good in a second playoff game. they're on the right track. And the best thing for me is that my feeling was, talking to Joel and Todd Bowles, and we're going to get to Bowles and Jason Light, look, they see this team as taking a step forward this year. So the expectations are really high, and that's
great. Lee, is there something to be said when you look at the team's offseason, and with the Bucks, you start with, well, they brought back their players, but they didn't really add a lot. You had Whitehead, but other than that, other teams dipped in hard into the free agency market, and the Bucks didn't. So could you say, well, why should the Bucks be better? They didn't really add a lot to what they already had.
That's fair. The more I think about it, the more fair I think it is, and if not accurate. The Bucks, even though they brought most guys back, are stagnant. The roster is stagnant. Okay, you got some backups you've signed. Oh, well.
Other teams are looking to grab guys off free agency that are available. The Bucks were looking at their own guys.
Other teams were looking to upgrade, where the Bucks were looking to keep their guys. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but like you said, Ira, are you trying to keep your guys or are you trying to upgrade your guys?
Is that a fair point, Steve?
I think it's fair.
I look at it the other way, Ira, because I think the teams that are going outside to upgrade in free agency, they're the ones praying that they could keep their own guys because they were good enough to keep. So it's like going both ways there. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
And there's no guarantees in free agency, right, Lee? There's no guarantees None. That the guy's going to work out.
Look, the Bucks have 13 rookies coming back. So, I mean, if those guys are what Jason Light thinks they're going to be, which is mentally strong enough to improve a little in their second year, that's 25% of the roster. And then you've got Mayfield in his second year with these receivers. And I think there should be a lot of organic improvement. But I'm going to throw this out there, Ira. I think Bucks fans should have every reason to believe that Liam Cohen is an upgrade from Dave Canales. What do you think
of that? Explain that. Explain that a little more.
Well, I think he comes...
Were you disappointed in Canales?
A little. I mean, overall, I think he did an okay job for his first year.
They scored a couple of more points than they did the year before, on average.
He did okay. He deserved a second year. But was he special? I didn't see it. Did you see it?
Yes, with Mayfield. He did a great job with Mayfield, did a great job with Evans. You know, I like I said, Evans told me more than once, and he's actually said it more than once publicly. Canales used him in ways that no one ever used him before, and he damn near had a career year at the age of 30. That's saying something. I think Canales got better as the season went along. I thought he called a hell of a game at Detroit in the playoffs. That little screen pass to White on the right side for beautiful call.
Perfect call. Perfect,
yeah, it was a beautiful call.
Now he couldn't fix the run game, Lee. He didn't fix it.
Well, that was on him partially. Maybe more than partially. What did Canales try to do with Rashad White? He tried to turn him into a power running back, to a Marshawn Lynch, who Canales coached up in Seattle. He's not Marshawn Lynch. Not even remotely close. That's on Canales. And Canales will admit, and we've talked to him before, you got to be stubborn about the run. And he was. But as my dad always used to say, it's one thing to be stubborn. It's another to be stubborn and dumb. I'm not saying Canales is dumb, but to pound and pound and pound and pound White up the middle and give him as many carries, tough carries, as he did, I don't know if that was smart.
Sean McVay told me at the party when I asked him specifically, what are the Bucks getting in Liam Cohn? He said he's very bright. He's imaginative, very sharp mind. Sean McVay has no question Liam Cohn's going to do a hell of a job in Tampa.
Wow. That's a column, Ira.
Yeah.
Well, he hired him twice. Jason Light said, Cohn, born to coach. Just a guy who's born to coach. That was his line, born to coach.
I'm very interested.
I'm just throwing it out there. I just think, you know, we like that Canales was sort of from the McVay tree with Shane Waldron up there as the offensive coordinator, that he learned a lot from him and in Seattle and then came here. Well, here we have a guy, Cohen, who literally was from the tree, not like a limb way out there. He was from the McVay tree. McVay hired him twice. I just think on paper, after seeing Canales' paper and what we know of Cohen, I think he may be better.
You know what I'm really interested in, Lee, is how big an effect is the scheme and the way you're calling runs on the efficiency of your running game? Purely sort of nuts and bolts. What you're doing, where you're running the ball, when you're running the ball, and scheme rather than personnel, can it make that big a difference in a run game? I'm very curious about that.
We'll find out, won't we? Yeah. Another thing about Canales.
Oh, by the way, one more thing. The Rams last year, Steven, you know this. They had this running back. I think he was a fifth-round pick. The guy came out of nowhere. The guy was fantastic. They had a hell of a running game, the Rams did.
Just going back to the running game, Ira, Rashad White went on WDAE radio and explained that he just put it right out there that he had a terrible start to the season. You know, and we were sitting here blasting him, and not everybody liked it, but he basically came clean, said he was playing so terribly.
He wasn't a rookie. He wasn't a rookie. Why?
That his mother called him. White said, I'll read the quote here. He said, my mom on me. Like, I started off this season horrible, bro. My mom called me like, you all right? You still love football? Like, what's going on? You don't even look like yourself. You don't look like you're having fun. You don't look like nothing. That's him quoting his mother. And White explained that.
I want his mother on the Buck staff. Bring her in.
But, I mean, White acknowledges that he was playing poorly to start his second season in the NFL. When we have all these running backs, as you know, you see them every year. They come in and have no problem thriving. Fresh legs, and here they go.
He did get better, Lee, as the season went on.
Yeah,
as
he
a running
better,
back.
But he's still, you know, bad wrong.
He is one fantastic target out of that backfield.
I love him as a pass catcher. Now, I started calling him elite, and it rubs Steve the wrong way. So I won't see elite.
You know, Steve, a lot of guys, you know, he's not the only guy. McCaffrey does it. When Kamara was in his prime, he did it.
Yeah,
but, damn, he can make that first guy miss on those swing passes.
Oh, yeah.
He is great at it.
Even over the middle. Over the middle.
Yeah, he's like great at it.
That touchdown against the Packers, the move he put on that guy, wow.
All right, Sage, look, Todd Bowles was talking, and he had a lot to say. And he went to the mat for Joe Tryon Soyinka. And I asked him very peacefully, you know, we're not.
Isn't he reading Joe Bucks fan, Steve? Doesn't he read us? Come on now.
Yeah, he reads it.
I asked him, I said, Coach, a year ago, I had, you know, pre-written this. You know, I thought about it. I thought about it, Ira. I was like, you know what?
He's ambushing him.
A year ago, Bowles was talking about how Tryon's getting in the backfield. He's just not closing out the sacks. He's right there. He's just not finishing at the top. Okay. So I put it out there. A year ago, you said he was leaving some sacks on the field, wasn't closing them out. Where did he stand last year on that? Is he leaving a lot on the field, or was he just not getting there? And Bowles, with great passion, starts talking about how Tryon Soyinka is a very valuable guy, and he can stunt. He can do all these things. He's not just going to come and bully you and go around the corner. Do we think he can rush the passer? Yes. Has he left some sacks out there? Yes, but he's made great plays. He's setting up other people for great plays. He's calling them that he's can be a nickelback at times. He's a three technique. He's a defensive end. These are the quotes, Ira. And
Let me lead into.
I don't know what to do.
Let me lead Lee into this one because I know he wants to weigh in. But Lee, those are the kind of things you say when the guy doesn't have any production. That's what you say.
Okay.
Versatile nickelback. I mean, the guy's out there for one reason. Wreak havoc.
Yeah.
Wreak havoc. He's running out of time. The guy's running out
of
time.
Yeah, he's running out of time.
We're talking like this a year from now. He's on the Cleveland Browns. He's on a different team.
Yeah, I don't know about the Browns.
You know,
yeah.
Because they're probably not going to give him, a fifth-year extension or whatever he's in
there. No way they should.
So he's on the fringes right now. I think that's Bowles trying to show we haven't given up on you. I think those were messages directly to Tryon Soyinka, knowing that he's going to see the video and he's going to read it and he's going to say, hey, my coach hasn't given up on me. And we know Jason Light hasn't given up on him because you don't want to give up on him. even though, you know, it's the last pick in the first round, I understand it. Still a first round pick. And Lee, in your words, I want production.
Yeah, well, you know, Jason Light's not going to give up on him because what do they have after that? Anthony Nelson coming off the bench? I mean, come on. Well, first off, your reaction to Steve quoting Bowles, your reaction was like someone informed you Cosmo puked in your car. That was your reaction. I wish we had a video
camera. I saw you laughing at my look there.
It was hilarious. What Bowles said about Joe Tryon Soyinka is what Dan Hanses of NFL.com, their podcast around the NFL, is what he accused Light of doing. He said Light talking up the talent on his team is the equivalent of him positive reinforcing his son when he screws up in Little League.
Realistically, what do we expect the head coach or Jason Light to say about a guy who's struggling. Are they going to say we're giving up on the guy? What are they going to say?
Parcells would.
No, I mean,
Belichick would.
Look, I didn't know what he was going to say when I asked him that, but I didn't think he'd start talking.
I never heard an answer like that about Tryon.
I never heard an answer like that either, with the nickelback and the all this stuff. Like you said, Ira, that's the kind of stuff a coach says when he can't just say, look at the production. It reminded me of some of the stuff he was saying about Devin White a year ago.
Yeah,
how he's always the second best player on the field.
He's allowing other players to make plays.
All this other stuff, and, you know, I don't know. But I do believe in my heart they're drafting an edge rusher with a premium pick, and that guy's probably going to get on the field pretty quickly. And Tryon's got a lot to prove. And it would be the second year in a row that Jason Light drafted an edge rusher. What does that tell you about Tryon Soyinka?
Am I
wrong? 3 out of 4 years?
If you consider Logan Hall an edge rusher, yeah.
4 out of 6 years. Because Tryon was a high draft pick.
Yeah.
And guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't Diaby and Soyinka both have come off the right side predominantly, or if not exclusively?
They flipped him.
I ask it again. I asked this 2 weeks ago, and you guys haven't given me an answer yet.
Then don't ask.
Who's coming off the left edge? Who's taking Shaq Barrett's spot?
Right now, I want someone to come off any damn edge. I don't care who. I don't care what edge.
You got a little edge to your voice right now, Lee. How do you like that?
I mean, this is the second most important position on a football team. And the Bucs act like it's a freaking punter.
Now, somehow, Steve, maybe it's Bowles' magician-like ability to manufacture a pass rush. But I don't think it's been consistent enough. I don't care how many sacks they have. I don't think it's consistent.
Well, what you said about Bowles being able to manufacture sacks and quarterback pressures, you're not wrong. However, when the Bucs have the most success, when Shaq Barrett and JPP were wreaking havoc.
And Devin White a little bit.
Yeah, and Sue, but I'm just talking about edge rushers. When JPP and Shaq Barrett were wreaking havoc, the Bucs had their most success. It's not a coincidence.
All right, so
I also want a center. While we're talking about it.
So Todd Bowles, I asked him point blank about the tight ends coach. You know, they hired an experienced veteran tight ends coach, guy who played 10 years in the league and then has been coaching 10 years in the league, whereas this John Van Dam is more of a passing game guy, not a blocking guy, which is what Bowles said. So Justin Peele, the new tight ends coach, Ira, Bowles basically said that I made the change for the focus on blocking. And he's obviously looking to get more out of the blocking from the tight ends. What does that tell you? Is that a tip-off that they're going to draft a tight end? Where do you see that?
I'm glad you asked that, because I'm going to throw this out at Lee DeKemper, and I'm going to get Lee excited with this one. And no, it's not Gracie Hunt that we're talking about.
Oh, well, I don't know how excited I can get then.
I'll throw this out there, gentlemen, and I got other things to talk about with the first round. Lee, I'm going to throw this out there right now. I've been reading some of these mock drafts. Now, look, you know me with mock drafts.
You hate them more than I do.
Especially when they come out in December.
November?
December 14th before the draft order is even set. I think that's the stupidest thing in the world. But now we have the draft order. Now, Lee, one of the things that I'm shocked, and it's more than one mock draft I've seen. I've seen this guy who I think is a top 5 to 10 talent in this draft.
Top 5 to 10.
And I've seen a lot of drafts that think he's going to get picked at 20. And I'm telling you, Lee, with that extra third-round pick, and I'm Jason Light, and I'm not going to give you the guy's name until I finish this sentence. If I'm Jason Light, and this guy's sitting there at 20, and I want to move from 26 to 20, I'm giving up my third-round pick to move
Michael
up.
Penix?
Brock Bowers. If Brock Bowers is sitting there at 20, Steve, I'm taking him. I'm moving up and taking him. The guy is a no-brainer. The guy's going to be a great NFL player. And I know you got Otten, but Brock Bowers, he's also a blocker. He does it all. This guy's a can't-miss, and I don't know why he would be there at 20. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Now I know why you're out and about at 10 o'clock at night on a weekday.
Thank you.
You've been sleeping with Sean Sullivan.
He's been talking about Brock Bowers.
Oh, my God. He's got a wet dream about the guy.
Kate Otten's not bad, and he came on a little bit at the end of the season.
Yes.
He caught some big passes, but Brock Bowers is a stud.
That's very interesting. I'm not anti-Brock Bowers at all. I never really thought about him. I thought maybe the Bucs would draft a second or third round tight end. I never thought about
Brock
Bowers.
Steve, what if the guy drops? Steve, what if he drops for whatever reason? He's sitting there at 20. Don't you
gotta,
make a move up?
You got to think about it.
You got to think about it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they value, Ira. I mean, that's the big mystery is what they actually value.
You got Bowers, Godwin, and Evans. I mean, that's not bad.
And Otten, yeah.
That's
but
not
I'm
bad.
Like you. Otten, last few weeks of the season
came on a little bit.
But you know what? And I know you're a run-first guy. Otten, blocking is not a strength.
No, it's not.
I don't think I'm being harsh when
I say that. No, it's
not. How much better would the run game be with a tight end who could
block? You saw what happened when they had Gronkowski, Lee.
Well, that might be the extreme because he was that good. I don't expect anybody to come in and be.
But Bowers is one of the few tight ends in recent drafts that has been lauded besides being a heck of a target. He's a very willing and capable blocker.
Sure, yeah.
And you don't see that a lot about tight ends coming out.
Those two words, willing and capable.
Willing and capable.
Well, what puts him over the top, Ira? I mean, if we do want to believe that they are the same team that was, a couple of punches from the NFC title game.
What if this guy's George Kittle?
What kind of question is that?
What if he is?
Well, we'll have fun, won't we?
What if any position that they take is a future Hall of Famer? They're going to upgrade.
Well, I didn't say anything about Hall of Fame with Kittle. By the way, this leads me to my next thing. And you guys are going to love this one. And I'll mention the guy by name. And you love him, Lee, and I love him, and I spent some time with him. Pat Kerwin.
Yeah.
Here's what I love about Pat Kerwin, Lee. He has no agenda. He's
no.
not anti-Buck, and he's not for Buck. He's down the middle.
Yeah.
And here's what I said to him, Lee, and we've touched on it, and I think we got to do it again. If this guy's sitting there at 26, you must take him, Michael Penix. You must take him. And Kerwin says, in a heartbeat, run the card up, and you sit him. And you sit him behind Mayfield.
That's what I've been saying.
That's what he said.
Now, here's something I thought recently.
And I think Sean Sullivan's on board with that, too.
Yeah. You're singing my song here.
Somebody might say, wait a minute. You're drafting a guy in the first round that's not going to help you in 2024. So what?
How'd that work for the Packers?
So
Jordan Love.
You know, I spent a little time with Mark Murphy.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And
for the president of the Packers.
Yeah, we were talking about that. And they have that thing with they did it with Rodgers and
yes.
they did it with Love. How's that worked out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, here's what I thought of. I thought about it when I was in Vegas. I did well in Vegas for me. I came home $400.
Very nicely. Yeah. That's why you're picking up this tab tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
What would that do for Mayfield? What I mean by that is, would that rattle him?
I asked that. Kerwin said no.
Oh, is
Kerwin
right?
said no. And I think it gives you a year or two to evaluate Penix.
Very much so.
You evaluate Penix, and you see where you're standing a year or two later, and it really helps you gauge what your next move is with Mayfield.
Now, you're setting me up for something I wanted to talk about, and I didn't mention it with Steve. So I'm going to wing it here. One reason I'm about ready to ram my freaking F-150 Ford through the garage door of Bill Curry Ford. I'm so nutso about this. I'm mental about it, Ira. Hassan Reddick.
Gracie Hunt again?
Well, I'm always mental about her. Hassan Reddick. But reason why I'm so mental about Reddick, absolutely mental. You know, Steve's talking about they'll probably draft an edge rusher high. Well, generally speaking, I know there's exceptions. Generally speaking, the norm is rookie edge rushers don't do jack. Reddick is a veteran. And the reason why I'm saying that, the reason why I'm so mental about that, I think the Bucs have a 2-year window, and they're done. And the reason why, look at the contracts. Look at Evans' contract. Look at Mayfield's contract.
Levante.
Godwin. I think they have a 2-year window. I really do. I think they have a 2-year window. And when you bring Penix in, you just said Kerwin doesn't think Mayfield will get rattled. 2 years. You let Penix sit for 2 years. Mayfield has an out after 2 years. Am I right?
I think so.
It's
yeah,
not guaranteed
right.
money after 2 years.
Yeah.
But it all comes down to how the scouts and Light feel about Penix.
Of course.
Maybe they don't think he's a gamer.
Sure. Now, what do you guys think about that window? I think it's a 2-year window.
You make some good points there, Lee.
The window assumes that nobody gets better and nobody emerges, right? If you believe, I believe the Bucs have a good diversity of talent.
They got no one like Evans or Godwin.
No, absolutely not.
That's what I mean.
Absolutely not. But I didn't believe Evans was old at 30. I don't think 31, 32 is old when you're an elite athlete like Mike Evans. When you're a regular player, yeah, you're old, but The greats of the greats, they don't wash out like
that. But Levante would probably be gone at that
point. Levante, yeah, Levante, they don't have someone who can walk in and be Levante David. I'm not playing games here, but the two-year window, if they don't have a running game, it's a two-year window probably, if they can't figure that out, if they don't get an elite tight end. But if you have a top tight end and Godwin fades away, you know, walks in free agency because you have another guy and you have a different kind of attack with a freaking average running game and a great tight end and Evans and some other receivers.
There's always receivers out there, Lee. There's always receivers.
My point is
you can – the team should evolve. So I don't believe in the two-year window because if Mayfield's, what, turns 29 next week or something like that, that's his prime. He's in his prime. So either he's good or he's not. And if he's – if you think he's good, like let's say you think he's in the Kirk Cousins ballpark of good and more of a gamer, then stick with him. Like I don't know why you'd want to play games with another quarterback.
Because right now they don't have any options behind Mayfield. Right. I want to give him an option
behind him. Penix turns 24 in a couple of weeks. You're gonna put him on the field and see what he looks like at 26?
Yes.
Well, plus, you know, the next couple of years, quarterbacks are pretty thin. And you get a guy like Penix at 26 – you got to do it.
I don't know how light looks at Penix. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Now, here's one about Evans. Yeah, you know what I think about Evans. I think the world of him. I was listening to Michael Lombardi, former NFL suit, and they were talking about Stephon Diggs. Now, even though Evans had damn near a career year last year, what were fans whining about with
drops.
Evans? Yes.
Drops.
Here's something. Now, they weren't talking about Evans. They were talking about Stephon Diggs, and Michael Lombardi said this. He said, the thing I learned in all my years of working in the NFL was when a receiver's around 30 and he starts having drops, that's a sign his legs are about to go. I never heard that before. Now, think Evans had some drops.
He did have drops, but he also made a lot of plays.
He made a hell of a lot of plays. But, I mean, what do you think about what Lombardi said? He goes, that's a sign your legs are about ready to go. And we know once your legs are gone, you're gone.
That might be true, generally speaking, but I think Mike Evans is kind of a different breed, Steve.
I would say, and I wasn't listening to the podcast, but unless Lombardi gave three or four examples of players who this happens to, then I can't really buy into it, you know? I'd have to know the names, you know, who are we talking about?
I had never heard that logic, for lack of a better term, that once the receiver starts losing his hands, that means the legs are about to go. I never heard that before.
Now, here's a guy, Steve. We never talk about this guy in terms of the pass rush because he's inside. But
Kancey.
Suppose Kancey takes a step up. It could help a lot.
This is what I'm talking about. There's 12 rookies that were playing last year. They're all back. Jason Light's out there crowing that Jose Ramirez off the practice squad.
Like Lee says, show me production.
Is going to be a hell of an edge rusher.
Weekday warrior.
But there's a dozen guys who actually played. So, yeah, Kancey.
Kancey showed me enough at times, Lee, to think the guy's got a bright future.
Kancey, I wish I could remember the stat. I can't remember the stat. Something about pass rushing. The top four guys were either future Hall of Famers, like T.J. Watt, and I'm not saying Calais Campbell is a future Hall of Famer, but he was number one on the list. But guys, you see their names, you're thinking stud pass rushers.
Like a Bosa?
Like a Bosa. Yeah. These were all edge rushers. About either how quick they got there or the percentage of pass, something that was like it really stuck out. Number five on this list was not an edge rusher. He was a tackle, and his name's Kalijah Kancey. It blew my mind seeing that. Like, holy smokes. This guy didn't even play a whole year. He was hurt, and it's his rookie year.
Kancey's the real deal, Steve, that changes a lot of things. Changes a lot of things.
Well, it makes Vita Vea last longer. Now, he's going to be 29 this season. He already doesn't play a ton.
He don't look like a guy who's going to be playing at 35, Vita
No,
Vea.
But my point is that, as far as Lee was talking about windows, if Kancey starts pulling the double teams because he's too much of a handful, that should extend Vea's life in the NFL. And, yeah, look, Bowles believes he has the playmakers on defense, and he should. But it goes back to what you said about the pass defense all the time, which is, hey, it, no matter how you look at it, it wasn't good enough last year. At times it was the worst in the league, which is hard to believe.
No question about it. I use the word magician with Bowles in terms of manufacturing sacks. Steve, it really is remarkable how consistent the sack total's been since 2019, since Bowles came to town. It's like between 45 and 49, Steve. I mean, every year, remarkable consistency. But, Steve, I think there's a little bit more to an effective pass rush than just the sack number. I like the pressures. I like the quarterback hits. It's all part of a package. And when you get past the sacks, the Buck defense didn't rank that high in terms of pressures and hits.
All right, here is the stat. It's called stops, which is a solo tackle for no gain. Could be a loss. Could be Atlanta scrimmage, whatever. Top five defender. But number one's Calais Campbell.
You mean last season?
Yes. Wow. Number one was Calais Campbell. Number two was this guy I never heard of before.
What team?
I think Buffalo, but I never heard of him before. He's not a stud. Number three, Myles Garrett.
Defensive player of the year.
Number four, T.J. Watt.
Great player.
Number five, Kalijah Kansi. Think about this. He was a rookie. He didn't play a full season.
He didn't.
Yet he was up there with T.J. Watt.
Did you notice whether the guy from Buffalo was a defensive tackle or an edge rusher? Did you notice?
I will pull up his name since you didn't know.
In other words, my point is Kansi could be the first interior defensive lineman on that list.
Yeah, it could be. Fororunso Fatukazuki.
That is a strong list for Kansi to be a part of, Lee.
Hell yeah.
And he didn't play 17 games.
Take the no-name guy away. It's T.J. Watt, it's Calais Campbell, it's Myles Garrett, and Kansi.
I'll tell you what, if Light hits on Kansi, which it looks like he darn well might have, I'm willing to forgive him the Logan Halls of the world.
Right now, the only impact Logan Hall has made on this team is ruin Ryan Jensen's career. That's the only impact that guy's made.
I'm surprised.
He's an empty body. He's a warm body.
I'm surprised Steve didn't ask Bowles about Logan Hall because he might have said something about playing corner and nickelback with Logan Hall.
The guy has an empty uniform.
I don't think he has a position, Lee. I don't know if he's a...
They're trying to turn him into the next Will Golson. I don't think he's Will Golson. I'm sorry. To me, he's a nothing.
By the way, quite a few of the Buck guys that they have let in free agency, besides the cream of the crop, you know, the Evanses and, mm-hmm. and the Levante Davids of that sort, Antoine Winfield, of course. A lot of them are still out there, Lee. Donovan Smith, he's out there. And there's several other guys. Remember when Leonard Fournette got dropped? Nobody picked him up. Where is Leonard Fournette?
Did he get cut in the playoffs?
Well, Sage, Mike Edwards and Sean Murphy Bunting got nice deals.
They did. I'm a little surprised the Chiefs let Edwards go. I thought he played fairly well for the Chiefs, Mike Edwards. All right, we're going to wrap this up, Lee. We're going to come back later in this week, and we're going to talk more about this draft.
I'm getting triggered knowing that I have to start linking to mock drafts now.
And last word for me, Lee. I'm starting to think that this third-round pick that they got for Carlton Davis, I think that's going to be a big factor in what the Bucks do on drafting.
It's going to be trade collateral.
It's collateral.
All right. Thank you, Ira. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, for presenting all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there today. Check out all the offers. The Giant is a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. And thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Anytime you have mold, fire, flood, storm damage, whatever kind of issue, disaster you have at your property, call them first. They're there for you 24/7. They'll come out, give you a free evaluation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Go Bucks.